We're pleased to have Dr. Yvonne with us today. Dr. Yvonne is an award-winning, best-selling author of Every Word Has Power and TV and Radio Personality. Dr. Yvonne was voted 2010 Woman of Influence and Inspiration by the Government of Ontario. She is a renowned and respected international keynote speaker and communications trainer and a master trainer of NLP and hypnosis. Yvonne helps her audiences clear issues to quantum leap their personal growth and life choices. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So Yvonne, what's your view of the mind-body connection?
It's all the same. I mean, literally, your thoughts actually make your body improve health-wise or not improve. So as you're thinking, every single thought is designing your future as you speak. And those thoughts resonate right through your body. It's been proven very well. Candice Pert, in her Emotions book, actually gives physical evidence that as we think, so it affects our body. It's amazing. And if you can improve the way of thinking, if you can get out of your limbic brain, which is the old family brain, and go into the prefrontal cortex, well, that's what I call the happy brain. When you think high energy thoughts, it dampens the amygdala, the fight or flight mechanism, and stimulates the nucleus accumbens, which is the reward center. So you end up feeling really good.
That's awesome information, and I can see how it would be so important to have a really good understanding of this to go along with practitioners that are working in a variety of modalities, how they could use this with their clients.
Can you give some examples of high energy and low energy words?
Yeah, absolutely. Originally, when I was actually writing the book, I was thinking of negative and positive words. And then I realized that they aren't necessarily negative and positive words. I actually looked up the word positive on the internet because I wasn't feeling comfortable about it. And I suddenly realized that if you look up on the internet now, you'll get words like HIV, hepatitis C, associated with positive. I know. And I was like, wow, this is really interesting that positive isn't such a positive word anymore. And then I started realizing that words aren't polarity based like that. They actually have like nuances. So mother and love have a stronger energy with them than something like table or chair, right? And then really what I found out is I started editing out those low energy words like bad, problem, difficult, hard, and replacing them with not good, not easy. Because the unconscious mind only hears the keyword. The unconscious mind doesn't hear grammar or context. It just hears the keyword. So if I say to you, don't think of a pink elephant, don't think of you a pink elephant climbing a tree with a hat on waving at you, you are automatically going there. So what happens is the unconscious mind simply fits those keywords. And that's where it's just like a quantum internet search. It's amazing.
So if you say not easy, it doesn't recognize the not, it just recognizes the easy.
It just goes to easy, exactly. So high energy words actually stimulate the nucleus accumbens, the reward center in your brain. Words like joy, happiness, excitement, love, feeling good, those kind of words actually give you that up feeling because they've literally stimulated a part of your brain that receives those words and just resonates right through your body.
Do you have any advice on how people can sort of catch themselves?
That's interesting because you actually can't catch yourself. You actually have to get someone else to do it. So I recommend we get a switch buddy, and then the switch buddy says to you, you know, when you say, oh, don't worry, so the switch buddy will say, switch, and you'll say, oh, you'll be fine. Right? So it actually teaches the unconscious mind how to change each word. Now, the thing is, what happens is people start out going, I'm so positive, I don't need to be switched. And then 3 days in, they're like, wow, I can't even open my mouth without someone saying, switch. So I say to them, it's like if you were going for an interview for a job and you had lettuce in your teeth and you were saying, oh my gosh, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. The person who's with you would say, you might want to take the lettuce from your teeth, right? So you're actually helping them be successful, even though it sounds like you're not. You know, and someone with lettuce on the teeth isn't going to say, how dare you say that to me? They're going to say, oh my gosh, thank you, you're helping me to be successful.
Right.
So the whole idea of the switch buddy is to get someone to help you be successful.
Hmm. So there's that connection between using positive words and the physical chemical reaction in your brain, but then taking that a step further, then that is what is going to empower you as a practitioner to attract clients, because people are naturally attracted to positive energy, right?
That's exactly right, because as you're speaking to people people won't know why they like you so much, and it's because you're not using any low energy words. They just know that they feel good to be around you because you're stimulating them as much as you're talking yourself. So if you stimulate them with low energy words, that you'll find that you'll put people off. If you use high energy words all the time, people will be like, oh, they're such a great person, so up. Oh, I don't know why I like them so much. It's like, you know, and it's an unconscious thing that they're not picking up those low energy words at all from you.
So that would be a really important thing perhaps for somebody who feels like they're doing everything right but can't really understand why their client base isn't growing, or the people they had a conversation with who seemed interested didn't call.
Exactly that, because the old marketing thing is show them the pain and show them the gain. Let's not talk about the pain. They already know about that. They've got it.
Right.
So if you constantly talk about, you know, and even in the old therapy model, it was, I feel anger. I know you feel anger. It's like, why would you repeat that word at them and make them go searching for more of it?
So they're acknowledging their anger.
They're acknowledging a better way to acknowledge anger would be, I know you don't feel good right now.
Right.
It's saying the same thing, but you're actually giving them like an embedded command to feel good.
And the good is a higher energy word.
Exactly. You're taking it to a different part of the brain to research that good. So they'll automatically start feeling better without even knowing why.
Right. Now, what about words that will portray confidence?
Okay. So confidence, a lot of that's to do with tonality. So your words that you use, you'll notice when I speak, I always go down at the end. Even if it's a question, right? It denotes authority in your voice. So they'll say, you know, instead of saying, would you like to come and see me for a session?
It's a question.
It's a question.
Right, right.
When you say, would you like to come and see me for a session? It totally denotes confidence. And it's just a little thing. And it was somebody asked me, how did I always sound so, like, determined? And I was like, I don't know, how do I? And I actually started thinking about how I voice things and everything. And I suddenly realized, everything I say goes down at the end.
And you just self-trained to do that?
I think it was talking in front of lots of people who did that for me. Because just being with a big audience, you have to talk with congruence, you have to talk with resonance.
Interesting. So I'd imagine the effect on the person you're speaking to, you're giving them a command more than a question.
Correct.
However, I bet you're also giving yourself a boost of confidence.
Absolutely.
Because you're not asking their permission to say what you're saying. You're telling them what you think should happen.
Exactly. So when they say something like, will this work? I'm going to go, of course. No.
Of course you're going to say it.
Yeah. Of course. I'm going to say of course. Because why? The interesting thing I learned when I was learning hypnosis many years ago, it's not whether you believe I can help you, it's whether I believe I can help you. Mm-hmm. So if I know that you're going to come to me and I can really work with you, then I have to sound congruent. Even if I don't believe I'm congruent, my sounding congruent will make me believe it.
Wow, so that's that old thing.
Fake it till you make it. Yeah, it does work. Yeah. Pretend it works and it will.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it does work.
So that's basically what your book is all about.
Yeah.
About the power of words. The
power of words, how to change your self-talk, which is 100% of your results.
Wow, okay. Now, you also have the neuro-linguistic. The body language portion.
Right.
Can you explain a little bit?
Program. NLP basically was in the 1980s, 1985, Richard Bandler and John Grinder got together and realized that some people, like Milton Erickson, who'd worked with people for 60 years, produced amazing results. And Virginia Satir, who worked with as a family therapist for many years, she produced amazing results. And they were saying, how did they produce amazing results every single time? And other people do the same thing and don't necessarily produce the same results. And what they said is, if we can take out their idiosyncrasies, can we end up with a model, by modeling them, by copying them, that would produce the same results every time? And they did. So they watched thousands of hours of Milton Erickson. You know, they would say, what are you doing when you're looking at that person's foot? And he'd say, I'm watching to see the heartbeat going down, see if they're relaxing yet. And it was amazing how they just said, what is it exactly you're doing that we could model and produce the same results? And they found that they could do that. And then they started, you know, following other people. Tony Robbins went to one of their classes, and then he took that and made it bigger and made his own results, and then they modeled him. So it was fascinating that when you model someone who's amazing, you can produce the same results consistently and successfully every single time. That's really what NLP is about. It's about body language. It's about communication skills. It's about really producing a model which is a perfect model. So someone who takes my NLP course, they can do exactly the same as me simply by reading the script. You don't need years of practice. You can just read the script and you will produce the same result. Maybe not as brilliantly, because obviously I've been doing it for so many years and I'm brilliant.
Of course.
But you will produce the same results. And that's really what NLP is at its core about. It's amazing stuff.
Hmm. So how do you see body language affecting one's success?
Body language is really important. What I see most often when I'm teaching is that people will say, oh, I love your hair. And they'll be shaking their head. They'll be going, oh, I love your hair. And what happens is the person thinks there's something not right with this. They won't know what it is, but the mouth isn't working with the head. Now, the unconscious mind will always work with the body to show incongruence if it's not what they're... It's almost like a lie detector thing. So the mouth says something. If the body isn't, if the unconscious mind's going, no, that's not true, the head will shake, or they won't look, the body, you know, the way they hold the hands won't work right. So it's really important that you get consciously aware of what your body is doing at the same time as you're talking.
Right. So in other words, they're saying yes to you, but they're shaking their head no.
Correct.
And they really mean no, but yeah, they're not sure why.
Yeah. So in a therapy situation or in a healing situation, someone says, oh, I'd love to see you. Does this stuff work? Now, if you say yes and then you're nodding, you're shaking your head, they'll go, oh, and they won't come to you and you won't realize that you've given a total mismatched signal.
Huh.
People are very surprised when I go, and you shook your head, then they'll go, I did.
Right.
Really interesting. And as a life coach, as a practitioner, as a healer, you need to know with your client the same thing.
Exactly.
You need to be able to read those body signals.
Exactly.
So that if they're saying something and you know it's not quite resonating with you, mm-hmm. you need to know why it's not resonating. Not that it just doesn't resonate, but that the body language isn't working.
And often with big questions like, mm-hmm. are you ready to take the next step to yeah. healing? And they think they do on yeah. some level, but yeah. then the unconscious mind says,
not going there. And that's the thing. You need to make a little note of that so you can get rid of the limiting belief around that.
Mm-hmm. So just around that, if you are with a client that you are sensing is reluctant, mm-hmm. besides the head shake, are there any other identifying things that you can actually point to?
The best thing to do is actually to tell stories. Tell stories about the success of someone else.
Mm.
Okay. So something like quit smoking or something like that. You can say, yeah, I had a guy who came to me, didn't believe he could quit smoking. So it makes them real, oh, I don't believe that either. That's uh-huh. interesting.
I can identify
with that. Mm-hmm. And he came for one session. After one session, he couldn't believe it because he went home, he relaxed, he just said, I keep forgetting to smoke. What did he say to me, right? So I did a little bit of hypnosis and told him to forget to smoke. And he said, this is amazing stuff. You know, so you don't need to believe it's going to work for it to work. So that, just a little example like that, and they'll be, oh, really? You make them do a story, tell a metaphor, and you'll find that you'll get them on board with you really fast.
So you've set the stage for their success,
correct.
Basically.
You know, and usually the biggest objection is money.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't got the money right now. If the car broke down on the way to you, they'd find their money for the car, right? It's like there is money there, it's just they don't believe this is a priority.
Right.
So your job is to say, okay, so we can arrange it in two payments if you like. You know, give me a postage to check. I always do easy payments so that people can feel relaxed. By the time they come to you, usually, they've already got the payments ready anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it also comes back to that whole belief that as practitioners, we're always coming up against is people don't value themselves. They don't value their own health. And that's a huge stumbling block to achieving better health. I'm sure personal trainers feel like people going to the gym don't really want to put the work in because they don't, at some level, feel they deserve to be a fit, healthy individual.
Right. Exactly.
Nutritionists run up against it. I'm sure it's so common.
It's called secondary gain. So what happens is if you believe, yes, you can release this weight, this 100 pounds, and the other part of you doesn't want to release the weight because then it means you might have to be successful, then it means you might be attracted to other people if you've not got a decent relationship. You're going to sabotage it in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I ask people to send me 3 pages of everything that's not working in their life before they actually see me. I get up to 10 pages, and it's usually the same stuff. And because otherwise the whole session is spent listening to their story, which they've told a million times, they know it, we all know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get that out of the way before they see me. That means I get 100% turn-up rate.
Oh,
100% of people come in to see me because they've already invested in it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'll send
to them. That's really interesting.
It's a great point. Useful, trust me. And I did it, and it
also really makes good use of their time with you.
Correct.
So they feel they're getting bang for their buck.
Exactly, because I'll say, send me 3 pages. I'll work on it before I see you. And then when I see you, I'll have the therapy ready for you. And they feel they've already got something and nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
and you've already had a tremendous insight into their self-talk.
Yeah.
And what they're saying to themselves every moment.
Every limiting belief is that.
I have a crappy past.
It's all marked with red.
Yeah, exactly. And the interesting thing is, I say to them, whatever you want to edit out is the only thing I need to see.
Ah.
So if they say, you know, I tried to commit suicide when I was 26, that's the only thing I want to see. You can't shock me. I've done this for 40 years. You know, it's
right.
Like, to me, these are just very interesting behaviors.
Right.
And you have to remember that every behavior begins with positive intent.
That's fair.
Everyone. Because that is what's called, it's called the prime concern. It's the thing that, if you pull that card out, the whole stack falls down.
Right.
It's the one thing holding the, to me, the basis of therapy is parts integration. All therapies are parts integration. When you are between 0 and 7 is when all your limiting decisions are made. I always go back to, if someone says, oh, it started at 16, there's no way it started at 16. It started before you were 7. So I won't accept that from anybody. I always work with that for 7 years. Even when they don't remember, I'll say, if you were to pretend to remember, and they'll go, oh, it could have been. It's amazing how they come out with it. So they'll make a limiting decision. You know, mom says you don't deserve that, or you can't have that, money doesn't grow on trees, whatever, you know, as they say. And at that point, the child makes a limiting decision, and that little part splits off from the integrated whole. And then we spend the rest of the time attempting to bring that little part home. Now, if your needs aren't met before you're 7 years old, you have insatiable wants for the rest of your life, and you're always searching for that bit that is missing, right?
Do you feel, or have you ever heard of doing a life review, like a written life review? Do you feel there's value in doing that?
For them, not for me.
No, not for you as a healer, but for the person, do you?
I don't know, because it's again concentrating on all the rubbish that happened.
Right.
Why would you do that? To me, the NLP is fast, so fast and so quick, it just deletes the vial. We don't need to get into the emotions, you know, you've done yourself the submodalities, which I'm using it for emotions these days. So we work with an old memory, we replace it with a fabulous memory, and it blows the boundaries, you never get the memory back.
Wow.
It's amazing. So something like suicide, that's my best suicide trick, my best cutting trick. What feelings do you get when you feel like suicidal or feel like cutting? You just say, now tell me a time when you felt empowered, when you had an amazing experience. You replace the one memory with the other. It takes 2 minutes and they'll never do it again.
Wow.
That's incredibly powerful.
Oh, it's amazing. The NLP is so fast and so sweet. Mm. It's just like really good.
So how does how you behave in a one on one with a client differ from a classroom or group situation from a neuro-linguistic viewpoint?
That's a really interesting question. Well, the one-on-one, you're listening to the words they use. So from an NLP perspective, they'll use words like, oh, I saw this person and he looked this. So you know they're visual. The words they use, the predicates, that you can tell from the words they use. And a visual person will always look good. They'll always have the makeup perfect. Right, or they may say something like, well, I was thinking about it and I didn't understand where I was going. You know they're like a systems person, they're a thinker, they're someone who's what's called auditory digital. So you know to speak in their language. If they're saying, oh, it felt great, it felt wonderful, oh, I could totally catch on, you know the kinesthetic, so you know they're feeling people. You need to talk about them in terms of feelings. How did it feel? Was it warm? Was it cozy? Kinesthetic people tend to be a little heavier set. They don't dress as well. They're more comfortable. They work more comfortable. And someone who's an auditory learner will say, well, it sounded like this. Could you listen to me? They'll use like hearing words. So you know to speak back to them. Now, the interesting thing is you can pick up in one or two phrases what system they use, and you just use those same phrases back to them and you'll get complete understanding. In a group situation, you have all four systems there. So what you'll do is you'll stand there and say, so as you look at me and listen and feel what you're feeling, think about this and find out if you can understand it. You've got all four people, four groups, understand mm-hmm. what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So I'm very visual, and I had to train myself not to say, so look at me and see what you see, mm-hmm. you know, because of three other systems that I'm not addressing, and they will lose interest because I'm not addressing them in their system.
And people can be combinations too, can't they? Yeah. They can be a little bit of...
A little bit of each, and those are the people who get on with everybody. Mm-hmm. And someone like a computer techie, they won't. They'll just have that one system, usually auditory digital. They don't do eye contact because they're busy looking at the floor while they're listening to you 100%. And that looks like they're not paying attention. So they were with the kids in school who were told off for not paying attention, even though they were. You know, the kinesthetic kids, they typically won't spell well. Mm-hmm. So when you ask them to spell something, they'll be looking down and right into their brain for how they felt when they saw that word. And that's not where the answer is. It's up and left. So if their eyes go up and left, they'll find the word. But typically they won't find it because they don't know which part of the brain to access.
That's fascinating. It applies to everybody because everybody is interacting with other humans on some level.
Really, as a life coach, as a healer, you have to know these systems in order mm-hmm. to be able to understand and mm-hmm. work with your client better.
Many of our listeners are new to the industry, so if you could pick one single piece of advice for those people starting out, what would it be?
It would be go to every single network meeting you can.
Really?
And talk to people. Yeah, I spent thousands and thousands on advertising. I have never found anybody respond to it whatsoever, ever.
It's all
that human contact. If they like you, if you get good rapport mm-hmm. going with them. I used to go to networking meetings, I'd come home with 60 cards. And then I'd look at them and go, I have no idea who these people are. Must email them all. What I do these days is I will go in with the idea of searching for three people. Oh, three people who I know will make a good therapist uh-huh. or I know will make a good life coach person or I know will make be a good business contact for me. Or even just someone I like.
Right.
You know, I tend to go and search for my soul group. Rather than for connections, who is here in my soul group? Who relates to me? Who feels good when I speak to them? And I'll come home with those three business cards and contact them afterwards. Okay. So I did this in Florida. I wanted addiction centers in Florida. Talking to a big group, and I said, oh, by the way, if you have any connection with addiction centers, put your hand up. Three or four people put their hands up. I said, could you please come and speak to me afterwards? I want to talk about getting into addiction centers. And they all came willingly.
Right.
And I know if they've got connection with addiction centers, 100% they're in my soul group, mm-hmm. you know, because we're all doing the same work. So very interesting. Yeah, look for your soul group people. Look for people you relate to. If you meet someone you think they're a really good business connection, but you don't like them, mm-hmm. in other words, you're not in their same rep system or it's nothing to do with liking, it's to do a rapport, don't bother. Mm-hmm. They're not going to like you either. Mm-hmm. You know, or not being that they don't have the same interests or they don't have the same rep system. You need to meet people who are really relatable.
Right.
That's operating more from the heart than the head. So sometimes people have a good situation and they mess it up because they overthink it or they talk themselves out of it or they change direction because they think it's a should to go the other way.
Yeah, exactly. And the biggest thing too is when you meet that one person, the idea is to get them so that they try out your goods. And then that one person can give you a year's worth of business. Mm-hmm. I've got two people this year who kept me in business a whole year. Mm-hmm. One girl I did a breakthrough session with, she brought her husband, she brought her three children. She's told everybody, and every week it's like, oh, yes, she recommended you. She said, you're amazing. They'll go around and they'll spread the word. They're beautiful in Canada for this.
Are there any general skills you feel like practitioners should develop in order to be successful?
The general skills, really, it's about deciding... And this is an interesting kind of idea because we tend to not look at the word healer with the word money. Mm-hmm. It's like, where is my money going to be? If you can seriously think, there's two reasons to do a speaking engagement or work with a client. It's, am I getting money or am I getting prestige? If I'm going to get brownie points, I'll do it for free. If I'm going to get prestige, you know, if I'm going to attend a dinner and know that I'm going to be honored on the stage, hey, free, I'll give you a talk for that, mm-hmm. right? Otherwise, it's how much money am I going to make? Because I focused way for 20 years on being a healer and helping people and empowering people and all the rest of it. Then found I couldn't pay my mortgage. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Things have to change here. And as soon as I focused on, am I getting money or prestige? If not, then there's no reason for me to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, unless it's down the street, you know, if it's the Toronto thing and I can go and turn up and it's a nice morning out, that's fine too. If it's going to be in Seattle, they're going to have to pay me at least my expenses and everything else, so at least it's not costing me out of pocket.
Right, right. And that's a really good point, because I think as healers, as practitioners, everybody feels they've got so much wealth to share and they want to share it.
That's right.
But if you don't put that value on yourself, nobody else respects you for it in the end anyway. And so you end up giving away all of that valuable information and people don't take it seriously.
They don't take it seriously. they take it for granted.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll give you, people say, you know, when you start out, give free sessions. Never give free sessions.
There's a real connect between commitment and having to put money out.
Yeah.
It's something we're really trying hard to get practitioners to understand.
And it's about set your minimum rate that you would accept and then go in at your top rate that you want. So if you say, my $300 an hour, and you know what, for you, I'll do it for $150 an hour. And they go, oh, thank you so much.
All of a sudden they're getting a deal.
Yeah, they get a deal. And I'm like, okay, that was good.
It's a win-win all round.
It is a win-win all round, yeah. My child rate is $300 for a session. And I'll say, I'll give you a child's rate, $300. And they'll go, oh, really? Thank you. And it's like, okay. It's so nice, you know. And if, you say, if you value yourself and say it congruently, people believe that. I know I'm worth $300 an hour. There is an absolutely, after 40 years of doing this, I can produce results in 10 minutes that people would take years to do.
Can you identify three things that our listeners might be able to do right now that will increase their success?
Yes, that's a really good point. Number one, you need to do hypnosis or meditation every single day. You need that 20 minutes. 20 minutes hypnosis or meditation is equal to 4 hours sleep. And as healers, we give out a lot of energy. We put a lot of focus into the work. People always say, you know, as an entrepreneur, aren't you lucky? It's like, yeah, like 15 hour days is really lucky, right? And you need to do that, get it back to center. Number two, go and call all the people you've worked with in the past and say, do you know anybody else who needs work doing with them? Or call them and just say, would you like a tune-up visit?
Oh,
I always call it a tune-up visit, and they say, oh yeah, I've been thinking about calling you. Right, so very interesting. When I go down to Niagara Falls and live there, I have no client base there yet. I'll be calling everyone from Toronto and saying, do you need a tune-up visit before I go?
Oh,
so I get business through the door, and they're going to say, and they've all said, keep in touch with us. You know, you can work on Skype too, remember. You can work on Skype just by actually working with them, and, you know, even on the phone you can work. It's really, really cool. So that's the second thing. The third thing, have fun. Make sure you have fun every single day. If you don't have fun, you'll take yourself too seriously and people won't connect with that high energy work that you've been using.
That's really good advice.
Now, you mentioned that you are relocating. So how are you, as a practitioner who's very well established that's relocating, what are your ideas around building a client base?
So that's really good. Number one, I'll be going around and going to as many community things as I can and saying, do you need a speaker? So there's an over 50s club and there's an adult learning center two doors away. I'm going to be going in and saying, can I teach a class on Sunday night? Can we get a little workshop going? So I've got immediate clients coming to me. Mm-hmm. And I'll do that for free. That won't be a charge. That will be in your linguistic programming. Yeah?
Yeah.
And it will be about, you know, how to change your self-talk, how to, if you've got a little list of things that you can actually work with, like just a couple of little like taster things. Also, I'll be contacting every radio station in the local area. And I'll be saying, I'm coming to move into the area. Would love a spot on your radio show. Radio show hosts have 24/7 to fill.
Oh, so they're looking
for people. They're looking for people. They want someone who can talk. They want someone who can talk about anything. Mm-hmm. Like, please come in. No, really. And yeah, you don't get paid for it, nor should you pay for being on a radio show, by the way. Mm-hmm. There's enough people around that you can do it for free. I'll have at least, I reckon, probably 8 radio shows within about 2 weeks of getting there. And I'll be talking to them, saying, I'm moving into the area. Here's my website. Go to my website and come and see me. So that's number two. The third thing I'll be doing is going and just talking to everybody I meet. Here's my card. I do therapy. And here's what you do in a new area. What you do is you give someone the card. And, of course, being a therapist, I'm not going to give someone a card and say, hey, I'm a therapist, come and see me. Because they'll go, I'm good, I don't need therapy, right?
But you look like you need help.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'll do instead is I'll give them the card and I'll say, if you know anybody who needs hypnosis, NLP, or just a good speaker, could you give them this card, please?
Oh, so it's not them directly.
It's not them. And they hold it and they always say, I might actually be interested. How much do you charge?
Uh-huh.
And I'll go, oh, absolutely. Like, it's a total surprise that you'd want it too, right? And within 2 minutes, I've already got them booked. And I'll say, you know what? Because I'm new, I'll give you a deal on the price. My normal charge is $300. I'll do it for $200 for you as a quickie. And I'd love you to come and see me. What's the best time for you, mornings or evenings? Oh, evenings after work. Awesome. I've got Monday off or Wednesday next week. When would you like to come and see me?
Wednesday
will work. You get them right there and then. And you always give them what's called a double bind, two options. So they always have to choose one. Okay. If they finally say, well, I'll get back to you, good. You just say, okay, well, give me a phone number. If I've got anything happening, I'll let you know. They give you their card and suddenly you've got their opt-in in on your newsletter list. Right. So then you can call them and say, I'm doing a meditation, and I will have evenings. I will do a meditation evening once a month. I'll do a women's group possibly, a mentoring group, like a mastermind group. I'll get groups going from the house. You only need 8 people. Mm-hmm. You know, 8 or 10 people paying you $100 for the day, that's $1,000 a day.
Right.
Just for a Saturday workshop.
It's a good plan.
It's really easy to do. It's like you've just got half a dozen things. You can totally get a client base within 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, I came to Canada when I was, 36? Within 2 weeks, I was fully booked doing exactly that.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. And people say, well, I've got nothing to talk about. So get something to talk about. Become an expert. If you're not an expert now, decide what you want to be an expert at and study it and become an expert. Mm-hmm. And if you've got 5 tips for something, mm-hmm. 5 tips for this, 3 tips for that, that's what the radio shows want.
Right.
You know, and there's if you look online and find the celebration days, mm-hmm. every month there's celebration days for something. It's Father's Day this month, it's Mother's Day. 5 tips for making Dad feel good.
Mm.
You know, if you look online, you'll find every month there's thousands of days that you could make work a little theme around.
Good idea.
Wow. You have jam-packed us with information, incredible information.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I love it.
Good luck with your move.
Yeah.
If you would like to give a little plug on where people might be able to find more information.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, go to my website, which is globalwelcome.com, globalwelcome.com, to find out what workshops I'm doing, what's happening. And you can always email me at Yvonne, Yvonne, at globalwelcome.com as well.
Thanks, Yvonne. Thanks for your time.
Great talking to you, girls. Good luck with everyone.
Thank you.